Hello again and welcome back. Sorry for those graphic pictures, but that's the reality, unfortunately, in Iraq at the moment. Now, many Yazidis stuck in the mountains for days in Iraq's Sinjar region died of thirst because of the heat, because of the scorching heat, actually. Hundreds of thousands of members of the Shabak minority group in northern Iraq have been forced out of their homes by ISIL Takfiri militants. And the same applies to the Iraqi Christian minorities. Professor Askerkhani, is this war exploding into a full-scale genocide against minorities, do you think?
Bahadur, it's really a genocide in its real sense. And I'm going to discuss two clusters of theories, theoretically.
Right.
One is the balance of power theory, and the second one, chaos theory. What happened in the Balkans when the Soviet Union collapsed? Then after that, we saw some kind of fragmentation,
right.
turmoil, and bloodshed in Eastern Europe. The same is happening in the Middle East because of the collapse of the U.S. power.
Yes.
So the balance of power is shifting. So this is the real, there's a vacuum of power there.
Yes.
I mean, the lack of power and the balance of power shifting from the United States to rising powers, this is one aspect of that. And,
right.
and it leads to some chaos theory. By chaos, I mean more than turmoil. It's some kind of complexity.
Right.
You know, it is getting very, very complicated that the old friends like the United States and Al-Qaeda and the United States and ISIS, they are just, you know, father and son. They are just former friends. They are becoming enemies. And again, we see that some old enemies are becoming friends. So this is the complexity. What is happening in the Middle East, apart from rising the sources of power and national aspirations and ideology and religion in the Middle East and sectarian violence, apart from that, it seems to me that there's some kind of chaos theory leading to more turmoil, more complexity, and more bloodshed.
Great. So it's a very sorry state of affairs at the moment in Iraq. And do you think that probably this animosity that you referred to has to do with the Kurdistan oil?
Well, actually, you know, the United States, as you remember, what it was investing in the beginning, it was some kind of, you know, greater Middle East in order to partition the Middle East, to make further mini states out of the Middle East, like Kurdistan from Syrian crisis and the Iraqi crisis, and possibly more crisis in the Middle East. So this is one objective and the principles of the United States foreign policy, which was because of the bad governance and bad, you know, theories and assumptions on the part of the United States that created the situation.
Okay.
And then it is, you know, behind the scene, it's moving to more disintegration of the societies there, more fragmentation and more turmoil. So this is out of the bad governance, global governance of the United States. But at the same time, so the recent, you know, changes, it seems to me that, you know, there are some kind of compromise and conciliation
going
the Middle East on the part of the NATO, the United States, and Saudi Arabia, and some other actors in order to change the situation.
Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
Now, we actually know that US President Barack Obama authorized on Thursday the use of targeted airstrikes to prevent the advance of ISIL terrorists in Iraq and to protect American personnel and interests inside the country. Now, Mr. Al-Hashimi, we know that according to the White House, the strikes against ISIL terrorists in Iraq do not have a specific end date. Now, are Americans being drawn back into yet another war in Iraq, do you think?
I don't think America has changed their policy in Iraq, nor at the area, the Middle East, and all Middle East. Daesh, which is ISIS, has got a goal that is drawn inside Washington to them. And to them, they have to go into a specific plan. America deciding to hit Daesh at the present because America does not want Daesh to expand improperly. They wanted them to go back to the situation and the position where they can control their plan. Daesh is a son of United States intelligence, and the goal for Daesh has got two goals: a very soon goal and a future goal. The soon goal is to make unrest in Iraq and Syria, and enable America to have a major role in Iraq and Syria, and to become a decision maker, a partner of decision makers. That is the present goal for them. The future goal for Daesh, for United States, for the intelligence of United States, is to encourage people, if they were able to make Daesh a stable and threatening the countries, then they will encourage the others in Turkey and Iran, the minority in Iran, minority in Turkey, to do the same as Daesh. And this is the final goal for the intelligence of the United States. I think Daesh is like, I'm sorry to say it, but it's like a dog when they wanted to send it to the courts to make them scared. But United States could end Daesh, and they know that Daesh has got no chance to live. Is Daesh is same like Taliban when they started in Afghanistan? They have got no acceptance. They have got no modus. They have got no realistic to live in the area. They will not accept them, even though they live at the middle of a Sunni territory and a minority territories, which they make them scare and help them. Still, they have got no chance to continue alive. And that's why United States does not want it to finish them now. That means they don't want to allow them to expand uncontrolled, unexpectedly, because they expand fast, they end fast. United States does not want Daesh to end at this moment. They wanted them to remain as a dog to the area to reach the United States intelligence okay. plan in our region. That's okay. why I think the United States hitting Daesh is to help Daesh, not to attack Daesh.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Now, we know that ISIL swept through northern and western Iraq in early June. After two long months, Obama on Thursday last week approved the use of airstrikes in Iraq. He said, as we said earlier, this step was taken to defend U.S. personnel and interests in Erbil, probably indirectly also. And also to stop potential act of genocide, is said, from the Islamic State, ISIS, or ISIL, or whatever you call it. So, Professor, why did Obama decide to strike ISIL or ISIS at this moment in time?
Well, partly because of the Gaza problem, in order to divert the general opinion, people opinion from what is happening in Palestine, that the people, are... fed up with this kind of, Israeli crime against Palestinians, and the timing was because of, that to just divert the public opinion from what is happening in the Middle East, in Palestine, and the Israeli crime, which is some kind of, genocide as well. So that is one part of the problem, and the other option Obama has. In his mind is to orchestrate another scenario apart from Syria. That Obama's strategy in Syria, it didn't work.
Right.
So as you remember, some time ago, Obama was promising to oust President Assad from power.
Right.
So it didn't work. Because it didn't work, so they changed the field of the battle from Syria to Iraq, and it was engineered, orchestrated by Zionism and by the CIA and the Western powers. So it is impossible for any given social force to orchestrate like a scenario what's happening as ISIS in Iraq. So have a look at the scenes, what is happening. It is some kind of, you know, the state or maybe the states behind that. Very well organized attack. It is not, you know, random attack. It's not, you know, social upheaval or social forces. It is very well organized by some hidden, you know, states. And
but Professor, the question that always, is always asked is, you know, ISIL is just about 10,000, 15,000 people. How could they manage to sweep into vast parts of Iraq and, you know, make so many gains?
Well, that's why I'm trying to say that, that it is impossible for some thousand, you know, warriors to even in even very well equipped soldiers cannot do that. So that is, you know, behind that is beyond the realm of the social forces, and it means that it has been, you know, orchestrating this for a very, very long time.
Right.
So it is let's say the United States and the CIA started this kind of, you know, strategy as of the Vietnam War, and they tested some kind of that unorganized battle against the enemies in Vietnam, like Viet Cong, and from that, you know, they have been trying to to establish some let's say local forces. And that is behind that.
Okay, so that's the background to that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much indeed, Professor. Now let's take a short break. After the break, we'll be talking about some other aspects of the situation in Iraq, and we'd particularly be looking at what Ayatollah Sistani, his statement about the Prime Minister in Iraq and how this problem can be solved. So please do stay with us.